Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Now, today I want to continue what we began to discuss last week, what I titled Generating Spiritual Energy for the Redemption of a Nation. To begin that today, I would like to take a few texts of the scriptures, and the first one I would like us to read from is 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. God was speaking to Solomon here. He said, "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." Again, we may just quickly read from Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. It says, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Now, last week we began to discuss that subject, generating spiritual energy for the redemption of a nation. And a number of points I made, I would like to just go over them again. I said, number one, people must learn to take responsibility for the situation around them. It is not right for you to be blaming other people for the situation in your life. The truth is that you are primarily responsible for the things that happen around you. That is, there is a kind of spiritual force that God expects you to generate to either repel evil from you or attract good to you or otherwise. Now, the point I'm making here is this. A lot of times, all we do is just blame the government, blame the people. We almost blame the sun for shining too hot in Nigeria for the reason why things are not moving very well. But God said it is not right that the principle of life is that what people experience is primarily generated from inside them. In Haggai chapter 1 verse 10, we read that God said that the sky has withheld its rain because of you. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 17, God spoke to Adam and said, "The earth is cursed because of you." In Leviticus chapter 18, he said, "The deeds of the people defiled the land, therefore the land vomited up its inhabitants." How did he do it? By natural disasters. How did he do it? By the things that we called the acts of God. And now from the text of scripture that we just read now, in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, God said, if a land is suffering adversity, if a land is suffering calamities, then the people that dwell on that land, they shouldn't start studying geography to find out what is wrong. They should not start checking the situation of the country, that is the geographical location, to find out maybe that is a problem. But they should pray, humble themselves, turn to the Lord, repent of their evil ways. Then God said, I will now hear from heaven, and then I will pour forth healing upon their land. That is, in a country like Nigeria, we are moving towards 2007, and a lot of people are so uncertain about what is going to happen. But God said, there are no accidents in life. You've heard me say this before, that there is nothing like luck upon this earth. That luck is a colloquial expression for the manifestation of blessing in the life of somebody. That a man who is blessed becomes a lucky man. Do you get the point I'm making? So God says that if stability will be in your nation, if progress will come upon your nation, if a better government than you have right now will come next time, then it will not be because of a chance occurrence, but it will be because those who are dwelling in the nation, they repent of their evil ways, they pray to God, and God hears from heaven and he pours forth healing upon their land. That is, we can generate spiritual forces to repel good from us and attract good towards us. Do you understand the point? We analyzed that last week when we gave the example of the land of Nineveh, that God declared clearly, he said, 40 days hence, and Nineveh will be destroyed. The people heard it. The king called for a fast upon the land, and they punished themselves. They repented of their ways and cried to God for mercy. And 40 days came, Nineveh was not destroyed. That is, they repelled judgment from them by their repentance, and they attracted good towards them by the prayer that they offered to God. So, in Nigeria also, how do we generate spiritual energy for the redemption of our nation? It's the same principle. It must be a repentance from evil works. It must be by a prayer to God. But there was a point I closed with last time, and I'd like to just quickly explain it again. And that is the fact that God does not expect that everybody, every single individual in a land will take these actions before he sends forth his blessing. But what he expects is that there are some crucial people, there are important people, and those are the people I am persuaded about that my voice is going out to this evening. These important people are the people that are not on the same level like everybody else with God. I explained that we are not all equal before God. People think that one man is just as good as another. Listen, it is not true in light of biblical interpretation. You will see that when God was going to tempt Job,
When Job was going to be tempted, his children died, his servants died. That is, the death of his servants was taken by God as a temptation for Job. Do you get my point? When David sinned, David did not die. 70,000 of his servants died. I'm explaining a point here. Everybody in life must make up his mind where I'm going to get to with God. Yes, it is true that we are potentially equal before God, but in practice we are not. That is, God gives everybody the opportunity to make himself important to God or make himself unimportant to God. Do you get my point? Somebody said once that David learned an expensive lesson at the expense of Uzzah. David was the one that said, carry the ark. But when God was going to manifest to them that they did the wrong thing, Uzzah died, not David. Do you get my point? I'm explaining this point here, that in every nation, there are important people to God. Let me just quickly explain this. It is not as if God created them as important, but they made themselves important by their walk with God. And those are the people that God called the 10 righteous that would have been required for the redemption of Sodom and the redemption of Gomorrah. Do you get the point I'm making here? So that my voice is going out tonight, therefore, to those people. If you are out there and you believe in your heart that God has called you as an important person in this land, this is what I'm calling out to you today. You must begin to do your function. You must begin to generate spiritual forces that will be the reason why God will spare this land. Don't ever forget, God always requires a human reason to spare a land. It is not because of their natural resources. God will not say, this place has too much gold, we must not destroy it. Never. It must be because there are golden human beings in there, and God will look and say, because of these people, we will not destroy this land. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? I'm explaining this point to us. In fact, and this will just be good to quickly chip that one in. Anybody can at any point turn around and become an important person with God. And that's very simple, and that's number one point we are making. And that is a man who sets out to repent of his ways. Do you get my point? And makes the Lord Jesus Christ his master and his savior. And begins to walk in a manner that shows that he fears this God. God says, this becomes an important person to me. Now, we made all these points. Now, so what are the methods, therefore, by which we generate these spiritual forces? Don't forget, if it's only you that's listening to me tonight, and you have made up your mind to follow God, you might be the only person that God needs to effect this thing. Do you understand my point? And let me tell you something, spiritual things have measures. Sometimes Christians have been praying, and they do wonder why God does not seem to have answered yet. When you are praying for something that is not your personal issue, for example, you're not praying for food, you're not praying for clothing, you're not praying for a job, you are praying for the redemption of a nation. Sometimes it takes time. The reason is because spiritual things are in measures. When you pray, you must feel that prayer to a particular level. If you read Revelation chapter 5, verse 8, you will see there that God said there are golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. This is the point I'm making. When you see bowls, it tells you they are in measures. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? That is, the prayer you prayed last year is still effective. It's just that certain things have not yet been filled into it. That is why you have not yet seen the manifestation. I'm saying this to encourage those of us who have been praying for this country. It is not as if God has not heard. God has heard, but is adding one prayer to another until the fullness of time comes when he will pour forth the result. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, it said, when the clouds are full, they pour forth rain upon the earth. That is, the rain of our blessing may not have been poured forth yet. It is not because God has not heard, it is because the clouds are not yet full. Do you get what I'm saying? That is, when we have done enough, then suddenly manifestation will begin. We will see great things begin to happen suddenly. And somebody will say, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Now, so let's get back to the main thing that I'm saying. So what is a man supposed to do? He's supposed to begin to make his prayers to God. But before you can pray to God about any issue, let me explain this. I said that not everybody's on the same level with God. We need to understand this clearly. If you read Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 1, Jeremiah was praying, and God said, even if Moses and Samuel were to pray, I would not even hear. That tells you something, that God realized that the prayer of Moses was a very potent one, and Samuel was a unique man in the presence of God. So God used that to explain to Jeremiah that even if Moses and Samuel were to pray, I would not even hear. I'm explaining something here. It is not just praying that is the issue. It is the man that is praying. Listen to me. This is something I have found out. Christians love to do this a lot. You see crooks, they gather in church to pray for the country. I don't understand what they are trying to do. Are you getting my point? A man will call for prayer meeting and the man's hands are not clean and he's praying. Listen to me. God says your prayer are an abomination to God. That God is angry that you are even disturbing him. Do you get my point? There's another thing that's even more significant. That is a matter of lack of faith. Listen, prayer is a manifestation of the heart that has faith. Let me explain what I'm saying. That is, a man is praying for the nation, but he expects no good. He will gather in his office with his friends and say, this nation is finished. Then he will go to church the next day and begin to pray for the country. Then he gets back home and say, in fact, I've just made up my mind. I'm packing myself and my wife and my children and we're leaving this country because this country is a useless country. Then in the evening, they say, where are you going? He say, I'm going to church. So what are you going to do in church? We have a prayer meeting. We are praying for the nation. Listen to me. The man may as well go to a beer parlor and get drunk. Are you getting the point I'm making? So how do we generate spiritual forces? That's what we're talking about. Number one, the man generating this spiritual force must first be one who has recognized that God is God and he's the only one that blesses. Are you getting my point? He must be one who has recognized that the destiny of a nation is not a matter of chance. It's a matter of deliberate efforts on the part of people living there who are walking righteously before God. He is somebody who has recognized that when God is going through Sodom and Gomorrah trying to spare the land, there are certain kinds of people that he counts. Therefore, the man said, I must be counted. When I'm doing my work, I must be counted by the righteousness with which I do my work. When I'm doing my business, even if they say you will lose this business if you don't do this crooked way, say let me lose it, but at least when God is counting, he will count me. Do you get my point? Listen, this is very important. Jesus said, don't ever use the results you have gotten in life to judge your situation in life. When we were doing our seminar the other time, I taught on what I called how to assess your life correctly. Jesus said, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. But the one I'm referring to was when his disciples came back after I sent them forth into mission fields. They came back and said, see healing, see miracle. Satan was jumping away. We saw devils flying away when we were preaching in your name. And they were rejoicing and said, Lord, where is the next field? We are ready to go again. They were really, really rejoicing. Jesus said, don't rejoice because Satan is running away from you. He said, but rejoice because your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Do you get my point? That is, if I want to do a business and they say that this is how you do it, you cut corner here, you do this dishonest thing here, at the end of the day, you will make money. And I say, I'm not going to do it and I don't make money. I leave the place having wasted my money, my resources, trying to do this business and I get nothing. Jesus said, rejoice because your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Do you get what I'm going to say here? That is, sometimes we like to come and give testimonies. Say, praise God, pastor, can you believe this? I did this for this contract. You didn't tell the whole story. You didn't tell the whole story. Say, now, I have made 25 million naira. Amen. Here is the title of the 25 million naira. Here is an offering for the 25 million naira. And you feel that God is mightily pleased with you. But God said, in that process, you've soiled your hands. In that process, you've killed your conscience. In that process, you have defrauded people. In that process, you have corrupted the hearts of other people. Yet, you are coming to church to give testimony. He said, that offering is an abomination to me. If you had left that place refusing and you had left with nothing, it would have been better if you had come back to the church and said, God, see, I went for that job, but listen, they didn't give it to me. Do you know why they didn't give it to me? Because I refused to bow down to their idols. God said, your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Do you understand my point? Listen, those are the kind of people that pray for a nation effectively. It is not gathering of a million Christians. Listen, if 100 million Christians gather, God doesn't hear the shouting of everybody. Do you understand my point? Daniel alone prayed. That is the one that God gave us reference for. He prayed the children of Israel out of captivity. And this is one thing I want you to understand. When he was going to do that, what did God say about him? When the angel came, he made a point about why Daniel was able to do that. Daniel chapter 9, verse 23. I'm using the New American Standard Version. It said, in verse 23, the angels explained to Daniel, he said, at the beginning of your supplications, the command was issued, and I have come to tell you, he said, for you are highly esteemed. Are you getting my point? That is, he said, God looks at you, Daniel, with respect. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm going to say. That when God wants to number men, he said, have you considered my servant Daniel in that particular generation? Do you follow what I'm saying? It is not just crying and shouting and claiming that we are praying. Listen, the most effectual prayer people are those who have suffered for their righteousness and have suffered in the nation. They are the ones who can pray effectively for that nation. Because their suffering is a manifestation of their faith. You know, I've told that, look, faith is not just a part of, I now have a new car, praise God, you know, after I did this, look at it, I have a new house. That is not what faith is. Faith is that sometimes I wanted something, but because of my trust in God, I lost it. See, I said this before, God always requires an excuse to bless people. There are young girls who went to school, and maybe the girl came out with a third class or a second class lower. And God knew that this girl could have gotten a second class upper. And she stood for her righteousness. There was this difficult lecturer or one or two of them that said, except I have my way with this girl, she's not passing. And the girl said, you will not have your way. I don't care if I failed. Now, this is where even people like me will preach it. You say, God will stand at your defense. That is true most of the times. But sometimes God refuses to do that. God allows you to fail. You will fail eventually. Instead of getting a second class upper, you live with a third class or a second class lower. But for the rest of life, that certificate, that is the second class upper certificate you did not get, is filed in heaven as the reason why God blesses everything you do subsequently. Do you get the point? That is, you, physically you have a third class certificate, but in heaven you have a first class. He said, God, why are you blessing this girl so much? He said, listen, for the love of me, she has a third class certificate instead of a first class certificate. He said, come, let me show you where I filed her superior certificate. It's in the archives of heaven. He said, for that one, every time I look at that certificate and see the one in her hand, I make sure those men don't prosper. Every time I look at that certificate and see the one in her hand, I make sure everything she does prospers. It is not every time that faith gets you material things. Sometimes all faith does for you is to take away your material things. There's a great white man that I heard about that moved into Nigeria. Most average Nigerian never heard of him. But Christians of those days, they knew the man very well. Why did this white man come all the way from, I think, Europe or America? I'm not very sure of where. And he came to Nigeria, lived in Nigeria, and died in Nigeria. Listen to me. He was instrumental in training most of the great names in Christian ministry in Nigeria that we know. Why? Because the man said he saw a vision. And he knew that this would be a great country. So he came here to come and pour forth his spiritual gift into it. Do you understand my point? Now, he died not yet having seen the greatness of the nation, but he has sown enough seeds. And I am sure, indirectly, I am part of his products. I never met the man, but I know that part of the spiritual seed this man sowed, I reaped from it. And that is what we are amplifying, and greatness will be manifested in this land. But God said, even though I have a promise for a land, it does not just become manifested like that. Even though God has made a promise, sometimes there are things we need to do. That was why God spoke concerning Abraham on his way down to Sodom. He said, shall I hide from Abraham? That's Genesis chapter 18, verse 17. What I am about to do, since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Now that was a promise of God. God said, but this is what is required. Verse 19, for I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. Did you notice that? God has spoken to Abraham. He has spoken this about Abraham, that he will become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. He said, but for me to be able to do that, what I want him to do is that he will command his children and his household after him, teaching them how to keep the way of the Lord, how to do righteousness, how to do justice. He said, if they do these things, then of a certainty, the promise of God concerning Abraham must come to pass. Do you get my point? I'm saying this man that saw that great vision, I believe very strongly in it. And I know that what God is saying is that before he can do it, there must be sacrifices made for the redemption of a nation. That people must pray and generate spiritual forces for the redemption of that nation. That the seed that men before had sown in this land will definitely germinate and produce fruit in this generation. Do you get the point I'm trying to make here? That's why we're teaching on this topic, how to generate spiritual forces for the redemption of a nation. So I'm explaining that if you have become a righteous man in the sight of God, or you have made up your mind to be counted by God, and that's what's most important. Those who are counted by God, there are two things that they experience. One, they experience the blessing. Let me put it like this. They experience the blessings that God had promised, one. Or number two, their children will be above average in everything that they do. A friend of mine the other day was telling me about some of the great industrialists in Nigeria. We look at them and say, this man was smart, this man was shrewd, this man was like this. But he said, look back, that man's father was a catechist. This man's father was a catechist. That is, in their generation, they took steps. The catechist man probably never earned much all his life. Do you get my point? He probably didn't have the material wealth that his neighbors had. Maybe because he pulled out of the traditional worship that was there, he became an outcast. Yet his children are currently reigning in the affairs of life. Do you get my point? Abraham was moving up and down, but great men right now, they refer to Abraham as their father and they say with pride. Listen, when Abraham was dwelling in tents, there were mansions being built. Do you get my point? People were building cities when Abraham was dwelling in tents, but his descendants, by the commandment of God, his descendants are the greatest men on earth today. Do you understand the point I'm making? That is what God does for people who are counted. Now, I'm saying that once a woman becomes counted in the esteem of God, which is what is most important, Daniel was highly esteemed. We have come to understand that. Abraham was outstanding. That's why God said, shall I do things without discussing with him? He now said, once a man has reached that level, then he's able to single-handedly, like I was speaking about Daniel, generate the spiritual force for the redemption of a nation. I'm saying this to encourage those who have commended their consciences towards God and probably have suffered for it. God said, it is not time to grumble. It is not time to lament over your losses. It is time to look at the advantage that have been so generated and begin to use it for the redemption of other people. Listen, in life, this is the way it is. Somebody must pay for somebody else to be redeemed. Jesus Christ came down to the earth and the rest of the earth was redeemed, though he never did anything wrong and he suffered. So you probably have suffered for doing right. God said, it's because I am arming you spiritually. When you speak good for a land, anyone who tries to do evil there will die suddenly. Do you understand what I'm going to say? Let me tell you, Christians, about judgment. Judgment is not always, I curse you. All my enemies, you must die. That's not the point. If you speak good and a man wants to do evil, then he will die. Let me tell you something about a nation like ours. If people who did evil have prospered, don't think that our complete nation is lawless. It is because generally we are lawless in our hearts. Do you understand my point? That is why the doer of evil has prospered. Elihu said, God does not suffer the wicked to reign. That is, if you see wicked men reigning, it is the people there, by reason of the wickedness in their hearts, that allowed wickedness to prosper. Listen, do you know, if all of us, as righteous men in the sight of God, as highly esteemed people in God's sight, we wake up every morning and begin to pray for our leaders. We wake up every morning and begin to pray, God, keep our leaders, bless them, do this, help them to do good for our land. If we continue praying like that, one of two things will happen. Those who will repent and begin to do good, and those who resist will die suddenly. Now, this is a principle of life. This is a fact. It is not to get up and become a judge in yourself. That is, you don't know anything, you curse somebody. You don't even, sometimes, you know, we all sit in our homes, we are cursing our leaders. We don't even know the pressures they are under. Some of us have 2, 3, 4, 5 children, and they give us so much headache. What about when you are the father of millions? An average president in this world has his luxury for him to sleep. There's so much pressure. And they don't have 2 brains. They have the same amount of brain as the rest of us have. That means they need our prayers. So when we pray for people who are in authority, listen, one of two things happen, like I say. Either they begin to agree with God and do right, or God will do something evil to them. That's just a principle. Listen, if a wicked man is reigning over you and he persists in reigning over you, you are a wicked man. What is sustaining him in office is your wickedness. Do you understand my point? That is what is sustaining him in office. I am talking about generating spiritual forces for the redemption of a nation. God says, if you are in your work pleasing to God, then it is time to take up that responsibility and begin to pray for a nation. Do you understand my point? I said earlier, prayer is not a way to just pacify your conscience. You pray because you have faith. That is, you are persuaded that God means something good. God said, I know the thoughts I have towards you. Thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. I said this earlier, what brings good upon people is not that they weren't looking for good, but they are sowing good in the lives of other people. Samuel said something to Saul. He said, God forbid, and to the rest of Israel, God forbid that I should sin against him by not praying for you. Do you get my point? That he saw it as a personal responsibility to pray for the rest of Israel. But what do we do with our mouths most of the time? Instead of praying, we are cursing. We are bringing forth judgment and prophesying doom upon the land. What am I leaving with us today? The righteous man, it is time to pray. Listen, events of life don't just walk by themselves. Something causes them to walk. There are 3 points that control the events on this earth. Number one is the plan of God. Number two is the behavior, the character, the heart situations of those who live on that land. And number three, and most importantly at this point, are the prayers of the righteous people in that land. God has his plan, but God is ever patient. God says, I want to bless these people. I want to bless this land. So to bless the land, I put good people in there. If the people I put in there don't do the right thing, the land will never receive his blessing. But God is ever patient. So he waits for that generation to die and waits for another generation. Do you get my point? Why would the generation die? Because of their deeds, because of their work that is not pleasing to God. When the generation that will receive the good will come, the first thing they will do is to repent of the deeds of their fathers. You know the interesting part? We talk about corruption as if it started yesterday. Listen, corruption is a traditional African problem. We are very corrupt people. Now, I'm telling you, that is a fact. Are you getting my point? Our kings, the way it has been, is that kings were really eaters. That is, the idea behind being a king in the traditional African setting was that you got more than other people. And it's not just African, please. Let me just retract that. It's like that with natural human beings. That is natural with people. It is the light of the gospel that begins to teach people how to repent of the way their fathers were. And then they now say, no, when I occupy office, I'm supposed to be a blessing to those people are out there. Then in that generation, good begins to come to that land. Do you get my point? So when those people first, they repent of the works of their fathers. Are you getting my point? And then they begin to pray to God in repentance and then asking God for his blessing. Then the plan that God had for that land is brought to bear in that generation. Is brought to manifestation in that generation. So 3 important things there. Number one, the plan of God, but God is patient. So whether God's plan will be affected in your generation or not is dependent upon you. Then number two are the behaviors of the men. And number three are what? The prayers of the righteous people in that land. Let me summarize everything I have said. In life, there is no accident. Luck does not exist. Luck is a colloquial expression, the way by which we describe the manifestation of the blessing of God in the life of a person. A blessed man is a lucky man. Do you understand the point I'm making? And the same way in a nation, it's not because it's properly geographically situated. Listen, like Bishop David Oyedepo, we say, black is not the same thing as lack. God did not say, because you are black, you must be in lack. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Listen, intelligence is not the property of the white man. Order and justice and equity is not something that is found only in cool countries. The heat in our environment has not made us stupid people. Do you understand my point? Blessing is not geographical. Blessing is pulled out from the heart of a man, and whatever God pulls out of him, he uses that thing to bring down blessing from above. Do you want good for this land? Then what you will do is repent of your own ways. Say, God, what is your proper way to do things? And then you begin to offer our prayers to God. Say, God, bless this land. Prayer is very simple. The reason why prayer appears difficult sometimes, that we like high-sounding words. Oh, that God that dwelleth in light inapproachable. You don't know the meaning of the word light inapproachable. So God is not impressed by your big grammar. He's not impressed by it at all. What God wants is, forgive me, Lord, I have sinned. Please pour your blessing upon my land. Do not let judgment come. You are the God of all mercies. And that is sound prayer. Do you understand what I've said so far?
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org. or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.